Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour two on a Wednesday. I was just telling Joy Taylor, this has been the best last 3 weeks in March ever. Live in LA, it's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike's Sub. Be a sub above. Usually, there's two times of the year that are kind of like 6 weeks of dead time for us in this business. Super Bowl ends. You got about 6-7 weeks, go skiing, go to Mexico if you live in the West Coast, whatever you want to do. And then there's the NBA Finals are over, they have free agency a few days later, and then there's like 6 weeks until you get into NFL and August and all that buzz. Those days are over. Like the NFL free agency now has made that 6-7 weeks of purgatory in our business captivating. It's still pretty dead after the NBA Finals. You get about 6-7 weeks. And go to a local beach, whatever you got to do. Blow time if you do this for a living. Nothing going on. But late February and March now are fantastic. This is
spectacular.
It's overshadowing the tournament. It's with Duke out of the tournament, Louisville out of the tournament, Kentucky out of the tournament, Gonzaga the overwhelming favorite. It feels like it's just overwhelming the tournament.
See, guys, player empowerment isn't all that bad.
Yeah, like it's
giving people a little flexibility. Can provide some content.
Yeah. The NFL has always looked at, this is why I think it's their biggest strength. Baseball tends to be beholden to the past and tradition. Basketball is just not as popular in America as football because we bet football. We watch more football. But the NFL's always been, they've always seen their sport as a TV show and real estate. And they keep encroaching. You know, they changed the free agency time. It didn't used to be at this time. And the NFL thought, well, there's a big hole in the calendar. Let's go for it. And so the only time of the year that the NBA basically doesn't go after another league is the NBA last month of the NBA playoffs. The NFL's like, it's yours. We're going to rest. Come back strong in August. Outside of that, they go after baseball playoffs now. They go after March Madness. They go after early season baseball. I mean, April, the draft now has overwhelmed early season baseball. So this is, it's pretty fascinating. So here's a story that developed, Joy, and I'm just going to tell you my take on it. Could be totally wrong. It's very difficult. We kind of laugh as a staff. These contracts are all nonsense. You can manipulate the cap. I mean, one of the reasons I was told a couple days ago Jerry signs Dak is they feel like they can manipulate it a little bit, pay Dak more guaranteed money. Once you franchise tag a guy, that's what you pay him, and it's a lot of money. So, interesting story. This is just my interpretation of this story. So, Trent Williams, a great left tackle. The Niners have decided to pay him $138 million for a left tackle. Okay, that's the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history. That's a lot of lettuce. Well, here's the thing. So George Kittle's contract explodes in a year. Nick Bosa's contract is coming up. They just gave Kyle Juszczyk, the fullback, a massive contract for a fullback. And Eric Armstead, defensive lineman, his contract explodes this year. They got a lot of highest paid guy contracts. What does that say? It tells me they're going to draft a quarterback. It's not going to be Darnold because they want to get cheap at quarterback. If you draft a quarterback, you're not in cap hell. You're fine. Got a lot of space. I mean, look at how many players Cleveland has with Baker's contract. They're good until another year when they pay Baker, right? So Deshaun Watson says, I want to play for San Francisco. How many big contracts can you have? Sam Darnold, you wouldn't pay him for a year, but you'd have to pay him after that. This feels like with this contract, and I could be just butchering this, it feels like they want to be cheap at quarterback. So it's funny because they have the 12th draft pick. So I went to the draft board this morning. Here's the top 12 picks in the NFL draft. So this is what it feels like. This is my interpretation. Three teams are absolutely taking a quarterback. We're not even we're not arguing that. Jags, Jets, Panthers. We know that. Then there's a handful of teams, about five. They're not taking a quarterback. The Dolphins now have Tua and Jacoby Brissett. They're not taking a quarterback. Bengals have Burrow. They're not. Lions have Goff. I've heard rumors. They got so many issues. They don't need a quarterback in the first round. Cowboys have Dak. Giants are going to give Daniel Jones. Why would you bring in a young guy, breathe down his neck? So Dolphins, Bengals, Lions, Cowboys, Giants aren't taking quarterbacks. Jags, Jets, Panthers are taking quarterbacks. Then it gets interesting. Then there's about four teams. Atlanta. If I'm Atlanta, I wouldn't. I think Matt Ryan has a very good next few years. Eagles, I wouldn't. Don't do to Carson Wentz. Don't do to Jalen Hurts what you did to Carson Wentz. Draft a quarterback, having breathing down his neck, and Philadelphia talk radio and reporters asking about it every Sunday. So I wouldn't, but there's been discussions. I wouldn't in Philly. There's been discussions. Broncos, I would. There have been more than discussions. And 49ers now at 12. So now the question with San Francisco. So if you know the Jags and Jets are taking quarterbacks, we presume that, you got to get to three. Because one of the old secrets of the NFL, it's pretty obvious, you don't want to move up and then have somebody move up above you. So my takeaway is the Jets now are going to take Zach Wilson. This is what it kind of looks like. That is what you're hearing. We know the Jags are taking Trevor Lawrence. So how do they get to the number three spot? Well, here's the good news. If you look at the draft board again, that team in the number three spot doesn't appear to be taking a quarterback, the Miami Dolphins, and they're rebuilding. So they need players. So could you slide a player over and get them draft picks? So that's what it feels like to me. When you sign Trent Williams to that, and the Bosa, and the Juszczyk, and the Armstead, and the Kittle, it's like after a while, that's a lot of big contracts. And the way to make it a non-story is get cheap at quarterback. So there you go. Very exciting stuff. Drew Rosenhaus is around the corner. Also, by the way, I just saw this. The Falcons, speaking of the Falcons, Field Yates, they have restructured Matt Ryan's contract. The new cap number next year is almost $50 million. Translation, we didn't think it was smart to move off Matt Ryan. We never got it. They're not moving off Matt Ryan. So it looks like Atlanta's all in for 2 years with Matt Ryan. His cap number is going to be huge. So Drew Rosenhaus, graduate of Miami and Duke, great Duke Law School. Miami's got a good law school too, by the way. He was a sports agent back in the late 80s at 22 years old. Kind of brash, hair slicked back, big top. And we were like, oh, I don't know. Well, it's like 30 years later. he has signed, negotiated over $250 million this offseason in the craziest pandemic-fueled free agency period ever, where stars are on the market and some are getting big money, a lot of his clients. And Drew Rosenhaus, NFL super agent, now joining us live.
I'm here, Colin.
Boom. There you go. Look at that. Look at them.
I am here. I'm on the move. I'm about to meet with the client to discuss free agency. So you got a guest in the field. Call me a field correspondent for you, for the herd, Drew Rosenhaus. Correspondent extraordinaire.
So you represent Aaron Jones. This is rare. So everybody, you know, for years and years, people thought, you know, Drew, his clients want the money. Well, no, Aaron Jones actually could have gotten more money. He's never been paid big. He decided value, it's more valuable to be in Green Bay. And that's a risk to me as a running back. Did Aaron Jones come to you and just say, it's not about the money because I can make more money elsewhere? How did that deal come about?
Well, we had three major clients, Colin, that ultimately decided that they were going to take less money in free agency to stay with their respective teams. One of them you mentioned was Aaron Jones. The other one was Shaq Barrett. And another one is Rob Gronkowski. Aaron has had four great years in Green Bay. His skill set is just phenomenal in that Green Bay offense. Playing with Aaron Rodgers is just superb. They were in the NFC Championship game. There's such a premium. He's been one of the most electrifying offensive players in the NFL. Why would we change that? You know, it's not just about getting the most money. It's actually seeing that contract and playing that deal out and earning that money. And that doesn't happen. There are a lot of free agents this year that got cut after 1 year. Kyle Van Noy, Emmanuel Sanders, and others signed free agent deals last year and then wound up being released after 1 year. They changed teams. I like for to say that when our clients stay with the same coaching staff, the same system, with a winning organization like Aaron Jones did with Green Bay, like Gronk did in Tampa, Shaq Barrett in Tampa, how do you leave a Super Bowl champ? How do you leave an NFC champion? How do you leave teams that you know, are the best in the league and you fit their system and you've been successful? Shaq led the league in sacks a year ago, took over in the playoffs this year. Gronk had another Super Bowl. He's playing with this guy, Brady. These guys could have gotten more money elsewhere, but you want to stay where you're successful and earn the money and play out your contracts and win.
Yeah. You know, years ago, I was talking to, I forget who the GM was, and I said, what's Rosenhaus like to deal with? And he goes, you know, it's funny. He goes, the perception with you media guys is he's tough. He said, Drew calls up. He goes, I'm in and out of the phone call in 90 seconds because he knows what he's doing, and he bottom lines you. He goes, Drew's actually pretty easy to deal with. He goes, it's not always about money. He takes care of his clients. So it's, and I'm not just sucking up to you. I've said this before on the air. So it's interesting. You and Belichick, from the outside, you'd think, oh boy, this is going to just be boom, boom. It's not going to work. But Belichick's leaned on you a ton. And what is it like for you to deal with Bill? Take me behind the rope a little bit.
It's great dealing with Bill because he's the decision maker. It's great dealing with Coach Belichick because he calls the shots in the New England organization. And it's a lot better dealing with a decision maker who's the coach and the negotiator and the general manager. And as opposed to dealing with a guy who's just negotiating contracts and has to go back to two or three other people that he's trying to impress. So I really enjoy dealing with Coach Belichick because when you make a deal with him, you're making a deal with the decision maker, and that's super productive as far as negotiations go. And that really goes a long way towards getting deals done. And that's why this isn't anything new. I've negotiated many deals with Coach Belichick over a 30-year span. I can go all the way back to the late 80s when he drafted one of our clients when he was coaching the Cleveland Browns, and we negotiated that deal together. So it's not an exaggeration to say that I've been negotiating contracts with Coach Belichick for three decades. And because of that respect that I have for him, you know, we're able to get things done. And I find that you cut through all the BS and you can get to the numbers and the bottom line. And that's very refreshing for both of us.
What happens, Drew, and I'm sure you've had this, where a player comes to you and wants to demand a trade? The Deshaun Watson situation jumps out, obviously, this year. Is sometimes it goes public, sometimes it doesn't. When a player comes to you and says, Drew, I want out, what is your first reaction?
Is it in your best interest? Is it in your best interest to be traded, or is it in your best interest to find a way to make it work? You know, sometimes situations can be resolved. I've had clients that were unhappy with the respective teams, and we sat down with the organization and we worked it out. If I agree with the client that the trade's in his best interest, then I absolutely will embrace that. We have a number of clients that get traded every year. We had Carlos Dunlap, who was traded at the trade deadline this year, and went from Cincinnati to Seattle, and that made a lot of sense because, you know, Cincinnati wasn't using him much in their scheme, and Seattle was a great fit, and Carlos got to go play in a 4-3 as opposed to a 3-4, and that worked out really well for him. So, I mean, in hindsight, you've got to support your client, but not be a yes man. If it is in their best interest, you support them. If it's not in their best interest, then you tell them why they should try and make it work, and maybe a trade's not best. I have clients all the time who say to me, I want to be traded. And it can be frustration. It can be out of a variety of reasons. And you got to calm down and make sure it's for the best.
Hey, tell me what veteran Drew Rosenhaus would tell 22-year-old Drew Rosenhaus today. If you could sit him down and say, hey, partner, slow down on this. Lean into that. Where have you grown as you look back at you?
I think there's a lot of things that come to mind that come with experience. I believe, for one, having poise. I think poise is really important when you're dealing with your clients and you're dealing with teams. Staying calm, losing your temper never really helps. In a negotiation, being belligerent or yelling or being overly aggressive or using the media to negotiate contracts, those are things that I've really kind of weeded out of my career over the last 30 years. Haven't had many holdouts. Don't really use the media to pressure teams in negotiations anymore. And I think the other one is just being brutally honest with your clients. Having the guts to tell them what they don't want to hear. Letting them know what is in their best interest and not what will be popular with them. Not being afraid of getting fired. I think there are too many agents that are scared of getting fired by their clients. And, you know, we'll simply, you know, tell them what they want to hear. And that is not in their best interest. So those are probably the main areas that I would say I've improved the most over the last 33 years that I've been in the business.
By the way, the Jonnu Smith to the Patriots jumped out to me as a really smart signing because I thought what was interesting, Belichick acknowledged, listen, I missed on my draft picks last year. I just didn't do well. And you know how it is, Drew, sometimes the greatest strength is admitting your weaknesses and not being rigid and just saying, hey, I whiffed on one. Do you find most NFL people, because Belichick has no problem admitting he makes mistakes, the Jonnu Smith one jumped out to me is just absolute perfect fit. Did Jonnu want to go to the Patriots, or did you push that one?
Oh, he was definitely excited about the Patriots. He knows, listen, Gronk, I've mentioned, Gronkowski is one of our clients. And I saw firsthand what Rob Gronkowski, you know, he built a Hall of Fame career. I think he's been the best tight end in the history of the NFL during his time with the Patriots. So why wouldn't you want to go play for Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick when you're an agent? And I've been very fortunate to represent so many great tight ends in my career that have had long careers, like Greg Olsen and Benjamin Watson and Jeremy Shockey. And we represent a lot of great tight ends in the NFL, including a young star in David Njoku.
Yeah.
So I've got a lot of experience in that position, and I was able to guide Jonnu, and he absolutely embraced playing for New England. That was something that he thought was a real positive, and he was very pleased to join a great organization and a team that's very tight end friendly over the years.
Good. Well, you got the Shaq Barrett deal done, and I didn't know if they could fit that one under. So good for you. And you're right now having, let's see, it's 11:20. So you're just having lunch and a cocktail. And who's the client you're meeting with, Drew?
Well, that is confidential. I wouldn't want to tip a team off. He's supposed to be meeting with another club, and I'm playing some negotiating games right now. So you caught me in an awkward position. This player is supposed to be in an NFL city, and I told another club he was on a flight, and he's actually meeting with me. I use every trick in the trade to try and get our guy signed and create leverage. So I wasn't here today, right?
That's right. Well, Drew was not in Miami today. It's great seeing you, Drew. Thanks again.
Thanks, Colin.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Put him on a couple times a year. Yeah, it's, you know, he said something there that's really important. Sometimes you got to tell your client. You can't be afraid of being fired as an agent. Like, listen, this is a bad move by you. Like Deshaun Watson, I get. Russell Wilson, I may have sat down and said, as we did a week ago, dude, just make it work. Like Russell Wilson is one of those you may have to go to him and say, listen, I respect you, but this is not terrible. DK Metcalf, left tackle, head coach, Bobby Wagner, they win. The fans are amazing.
Well, it's hard. It's a balance to take the emotion out of negotiating because it's your life. And we all negotiate contracts and you get emotional about it. You're like, I deserve this and I want this and I've earned this. And then you hear no and then you take it personally. Like it's special, special job being an agent.
Good stuff. Mark Schlereth, Darius Butler, the former NFL DV, Patriots and Colts. He can talk about free agency today as well.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the first time in 11 years, WWE Hall of Famer Edge competes in a match on SmackDown. Plus, Sasha Banks collides with Nia Jax in a championship showdown. It's an all-new Friday Night SmackDown, live at 8 Eastern on Fox.
Let me throw this out to you. So, we've suspected that Sam Darnold, and we've done various reports that multiple people are interested, and the Jets have the number two pick. They would take Zach Wilson, presumably, or Trey Lance, whoever they like, Justin Fields. But so Washington didn't make a deal for Sam Darnold, and Chicago didn't make a deal for Sam Darnold, and the Colts didn't make a deal for Sam Darnold, and San Francisco, by signing Trent Williams, feels like they got to get cheaper at quarterback, probably doesn't go after Sam Darnold. So maybe the market for Sam Darnold is exaggerated. But he was the one guy to me, 23. Now, Seattle, Pete Carroll said, like Sam Darnold. That's no longer available. So it is interesting. Everybody's getting their quarterbacks. Now, it's not like Chicago paid a lot for theirs or Washington paid a lot for theirs. But Miami now, they're out because Jacoby Brissett too. So what is the market for the Jets now? See, the Jets are being patient and they're waiting. But the question becomes, everybody's got their quarterback. And at some point, in a reduced salary cap, what can you afford? So it's very the Sam Darnold market, which I thought was very viable. My people had told me Sam could have been one of those guys. People like him, but they don't love him. And the number has to be right, right? Like, what am I willing to give up? Maybe the Jets want a one, and people are willing to give a three. But there's a lot of boxes checked off here. Washington check, Chicago check, San Francisco, I think, check, Indy check, Miami check, Seattle now check, New Orleans now check. Who's left? Save big on your water and energy bills with Navien tankless water heaters. Instant and endless hot water, spa-like comfort. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. Tanklessmadesimple.com. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News. Sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Well, the Texans have remained committed to Deshaun Watson, even though he clearly wants out of the organization. But this latest signing has picked up the trade rumors once again. The Texans have agreed to a one-year deal with Tyrod Taylor that's worth up to $12.5 million. He only started one game for the Chargers, 16-13 win over the Bengals. It's kind of an interesting move by the Texans, who have been pretty stern in that they are not moving Deshaun Watson. That's quite a bit of money and an aggressive signing for a team that isn't planning on moving him.
Well, that's clearly a contingency plan. So what they're saying in his contract is he'll make the $12 million if he starts, obviously. It's a smaller number, but it gets to 12 really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, all these contracts are not
right.
Really face value the
so,
money. But.
So that's what they're telling you is, all right, we do have a contingency plan. So that does that mean they're coming to terms with, let's not be crazy here, we need a quarterback.
Let's not be crazy. If someone comes to us with an offer, if we listen to an offer that we can't refuse, but now Deshaun is reportedly interested in San Francisco or Denver. I mean, I don't know. Can San Francisco make that money work? I don't know. And Denver, I think, should be overly aggressive if this is even an option to get Deshaun Watson. I know that teams are calling. What I don't understand is why Houston isn't listening. Because we're at the point where we know there's a break. Like, it's one thing if a team is like, no, like, we're absolutely fixing it, and it's a functional organization, and there's something we need to sit down and discuss. Like, we're past the point of, it's public. Like, everything is out there. We know what's going on with Jack Easterby. We know that Deshaun wants out. Like, there's no more, like, disguising the situation. So why wouldn't you take calls?
Well, yeah, I mean, Seattle took calls on Russell Wilson.
And no one thinks that Seattle's dysfunctional.
Unless you have the best something. Like, Kansas City should not take calls for Mahomes. That would be dumb. Other than that, I mean, if you have the best young player in the league,
not taking calls on Aaron Rodgers.
If they love Jordan Love, they could. If they love Jordan Love,
but they don't. So like right now,
right? They're not gonna. Right. But generally speaking, you don't take calls if you have the best something. But even Seattle took calls for Russell Wilson. I mean, I like Deshaun. He's probably fifth or sixth best in the league. You take calls.
Yeah, I don't understand what Houston is doing. But I do think that it was a good move to bring in Tyrod. Because if they do end up making a decision to move on, or if it gets so ugly, or if Deshaun decides he's not going to play, then they have Tyrod there, which is all of these things are available. So the Bears agreed to a one-year deal with Andy Dalton yesterday.
Dumb.
They did take their shot at Russell Wilson. Chicago reportedly offered 3 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and 2 starters.
Oh, wait. Us. Time out. Where'd you get that?
Who did
that's interesting.
That's in the Dan Patrick Show. That was
okay, so 3 first-rounders, a third-rounder.
3 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and 2 starters for us.
I wonder what the starters were. You can't put those out there. The players will get offended.
Yeah, you can't do that. That seems like a fair trade.
Well, yeah, if depends on the starters, but if you give me a pass rusher in a corner.
That is an offer that would make sense for a team that is rebooting. Like, if someone offered 3 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and 2 starters for Deshaun Watson, that makes sense. You're starting over.
Yeah.
But Pete Carroll is not wanting to start over. Because you can make that work. If you can't make 3 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and 2 starters work, you probably shouldn't be coaching in the NFL. Now, you're not going to replace Russell Wilson, obviously, which is why they turned it down, which is the smart thing to do. But it's not as toxic as the Houston situation. So that makes more sense. Like, is that a reasonable offer for someone like Deshaun Watson? Assuming that is what was offered.
Well, if Denver said, here's 3 first, 2 of our starters, and a third, and the starters were, let's say one of the starters is, we're going to give you Jerry Jeudy, the wide receiver we just picked. Well, that's a star, potential star. He had some drops last year. And then you give us, a starting number 2 corner. Again, if I could get something back at quarterback, it would make it much easier.
But if you're Houston, you have Tyrod Taylor now.
For a year. Yeah, I mean, listen, I...
And three first-round picks you can package to trade up and move up in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, if I was Houston right now, Russ Wilson, I wouldn't know. I like Russell more than Deshaun. If I ran Houston right now, 3 firsts, a third, and 2 starters, I would do it.
Well, also, the situation is different with Russ in Seattle. Like, the circumstances of the organization are different than Houston. But I think that's a move, if someone offers that if Denver were to offer that for Deshaun Watson, that you have to take.
Yeah, 3 firsts, a third, and 2 starters.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, last night, fun game. Damian Lillard led the Blazers in a remarkable comeback against the Pelicans. Portland was down 17 with less than 6 minutes to go and got all the way back to within 3 with seconds remaining. Dame hit 2 free throws to get within 1. Bledsoe fouled him, and then the Pelicans fumbled the inbound pass to keep Portland alive. That's not when Bledsoe fouled him. Lillard then was fouled here, hit both shots to take the 1-point lead. Zion had the chance, actually, to get the win, but missed the last second shot at the buzzer, and the Blazers held on to win 125-124. I love this play call, though, that they drew up for the end of this game.
That's a great shot.
It was a great shot. First, for like 1 second, I was like, it would have been amazing to go in, but it's so disheartening for the Pelicans that it didn't. I mean, he had a good look. Like, you couldn't ask for a better look and a better pass than that at the end of the game. But really fun game, and Damian just continues to just...
Portland is in a lot of these games.
I mean...
A lot. They're in a lot of close games. Yeah.
Dame time. CJ McCollum returned last night after missing 25 straight games with a fractured foot. They went 14-11 without him. They are 23-16. The Pelicans are 17-23 so far through the season, but really fun game, and Damian Lillard is just such an incredible player and just a star. I think he's got to be somewhat an MVP conversation.
Oh, of course.
Point.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have Nurkic. CJ McCollum's out, and they're
he just came back and missed 25 games.
Yeah, so they're like a 5 seed. So Portland's always viable. That, you know, it's like the Drew Brees Purdue thing. When you're great at quarterback, you get Purdue to a Rose Bowl. You're great when you can miss your best big and your second or third best player, and you're still viable in the West. That tells you you're beyond a score. That's what a great player does.
What value is.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Mark Slare at the Around the Corner Show is flying by. We'll give you the very latest on free agent signings. They are trickling in as we speak.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the story today, Deshaun Watson came out and said, and he has a no-trade clause, I want to play for San Francisco or Denver. Now, San Francisco, it would be a little trickier because they have so many huge contracts on that team. They just paid Trent Williams a fortune at left tackle, and George Kittle and Armstead, a Juszczyk. There are a lot of, and the Bosa contract's coming up soon. So Mark Schlereth, who's got three Super Bowl rings and a two-time Pro Bowler, joins us from Colorado. So let me ask you, when a star player says, yeah, I'd like to go play for you, and Elway's 0-9 on quarterback since Peyton Manning, it's pretty inviting. Would you go all in on Deshaun Watson?
But I suppose it mean, what does all in mean? You know, I mean, at some point there has to be a price that is – not worth paying. I think one of the things about giving up a lot of future capital in the form of a draft is not only do those draft picks, you know, you obviously you're drafting and you're trying to develop those guys and you're trying to have those guys become the staple of your franchise, but the other thing that it gives you probably more importantly is cost certainty. Show me a team that, you know, went after a big time quarterback that wasn't already already established from the standpoint of having a great roster in place. You know, Peyton Manning did it in Denver. Obviously, Tom Brady, we just saw that happen. But most of the time, you have to put the roster in place, and drafting a quarterback allows you the opportunity to go after those pieces that you can put around, you know, that roster. Even Patrick Mahomes was on a team that came, you know, was always winning 11, 12 games under Alex Smith. So I think it's tricky. How much value do you have? And as far as that no trade clause contract is concerned, I know there is a lot of places you'd like to go play, Colin, and that's great. I appreciate the fact that you want to go play there, and I appreciate the fact that you have a no trade clause in your contract. But the bottom line is, once you have forced yourself out of a situation, now the team that owns your rights is the team that they have the leverage. So they can sit there and say, hey, I know you want to go to Denver, but the Jets or Miami have given up so much more value that we're going to trade you there. And if you don't want to go there, then you can sit out for the year. So the obviously, to me, now all of a sudden, the leverage goes back to Houston. And they've got to find somebody that will, you know, dance the dance with them and give them maximum value for Deshaun Watson. And, you know, maybe that's Denver, maybe it isn't. I don't know.
Yeah, but you are saying you don't think Denver's a quarterback away. Their roster has holes defensively, no question. Now, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, the word's out, the story's out. Chicago offered three firsts, a third, and two starters or two players. We imagine they'd be starters. And Seattle slept on it and said no. So it looks like Russell and Pete are going to, you know, they're going to be together. What's your takeaway on the whole situation?
Well, I think my takeaway is obviously Russell has been extraordinary. I think there are some issues when you're talking about protection and you're talking about, you know, all the different things that Russell complained about. You know, part of the whole let Russ cook kind of mantra out there in Seattle is to be able to do that, you put your quarterback in harm's way. And I know that Pete Carroll doesn't want to be that form of coach. You know, they want a ground control game. They want to be a physical presence. They want to do a lot of things well in that regard, set up their play action and take that pressure off of Russ. I would imagine that if you look at all the Russ, all the hits that Russ takes, all the sacks that Russell has taken over the years, you could attribute a lot of those pressures and a lot of those sacks and a lot of those hits directly to Russell Wilson, the way he plays the game. So I imagine they had a little, come to reality meeting about exactly how things are going to be run, and and the way that Russell wants to do things and the way that Pete wants to do things and come to some type of an agreement. But that's a haul for Russell Wilson. And obviously Deshaun Watson is going to have some, I mean, a similar type of haul to get a franchise type of quarterback in your on your roster.
Bears basically settled for Andy Dalton. I don't think he fits. I actually think Trubisky fits better because he can move. What did you make of that?
Well, I think that Andy Dalton, you know, takes a lot of heat for not being good. And I would tell you, Andy Dalton, what, a three-time Pro Bowler, took a Cincinnati team to the playoffs five different times. I mean, that to me, like when I was playing, Colin, there was always like three certainties in life: death, taxes, and when you played the Bengals, you'd beat them. They're not any good, right? And so Andy Dalton went to the Bengals and made a consistent playoff performer. Now, he was 0-for-4, I think one playoff game he didn't play in, but I still look at Andy Dalton and say you can win from the pocket with Andy Dalton. The difference between Andy and Mitchell Trubisky is really where Mitchell Trubisky thrives is outside the pocket. So it comes off of run action design outside the pocket. Well, like to me, to win in this league consistently and to be a prominent player at the quarterback position, you've got to be able to win from inside the pocket where you're protected. That's where you're going to stay healthy. That's where the majority of the protection comes for the quarterback. And that's where I believe you have to win. You can get to the playoffs outside the pocket doing those things. But the bottom line is when you're playing like caliber football teams that have like rosters, you've got to be able to dissect people from the pocket. Andy gives you that ability. I don't think Mitch Trubisky does.
Yeah. Patriots spending spree. What'd you make of it?
I just kind of laugh because isn't this the Patriots? I mean, didn't you get the sense that Bill Belichick over the years has sat back and looked at teams that have spent a ton of money and laughed at them? Like, oh gosh, you know, you guys are you're paying premium dollars for good players. And I think that's ultimately a recipe for disaster. Now, I look at New England and I understand you're trying to get back in the playoffs. You're trying to do those things, but it feels like you're paying premium dollars for some really good players. I think Jonnu Smith is a really good player. Matt Judon is a really good player.
Yeah.
But again, it's premium for good players. You know, I still believe that you build your roster, you build your franchise through the draft, and you've got to be great at the draft. And just because you draft starters, like, hey, you got to draft really good starters, Pro Bowl type of starters. Everybody's going to draft starters if your team stinks. It's like being the leading scorer on a really bad NBA team. Somebody's got to be the leading scorer, right? I mean, you're still a really bad team. So you've got to be able to draft difference makers. But I think that's the core of the franchise is your draft and your salary control through the draft.
I don't know how much you've seen of Sam Darnold in the NFL, but Chicago could have had him, no. Washington could have, no. Indy, no. San Francisco hasn't made a run. Miami just signed Jacoby Brissett. So this morning I look up and I think to myself, maybe there was no Sam Darnold market. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that the Jets are still looking at that Deshaun Watson trade. I think teams are enamored with him, but they also understand that there is a kind of a reclamation project that is Sam Darnold. When Sam Darnold came in the league, talking to Jets coaches at the time, they were incredibly impressed with his football acumen, his football sense in general. I will say this: you spend 3 years getting the snot beat out of you. It does tend to take its toll on you,
right?
So, like, he needs there needs to be this reclamation project. There needs to be a Sam Darnold rehab. You know, go to a team that really does things the right way and rehab your career. I think that's a good thing, but I don't think, you know, now I think he becomes a prominent figure if you're talking about the Broncos or another team that is looking for competition at that position. But I don't think he was kind of that first wave guy from a trade standpoint.
Yeah. Well, the Jets haven't said yet if they're moving him. I mean, we just all assume they're moving him, so we'll figure that out. Mark Schlereth, 3 rings. And where do you keep your Super Bowl rings, by the way?
In the safe, in the house. I rarely ever put them on. Every now and again, you know, every now and again, I just strip down and put them on and prance around the house, call myself world champion. But that doesn't happen very often.
Mark Schlereth, good talking to you.
You too, buddy.
Just prance around the house, call yourself a world champion. You know, sometimes you just want to feel good about yourself. Just the way it goes. Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in America. There's a Hustler Turf dealer near you. Visit HustlerTurf.com, HustlerTurf.com. Over 1,000 dealers across America. Listen, I'm supposed to be, you know, impartial, the judge, but I, you know, I root for people, so I'm a little bit, maybe I'm rooting for Sam Darnold, and I've elevated the market, which is meh, and I've got it as pretty good. I just look at Washington, and somebody explain the Ryan Fitzpatrick move, because I don't get it.
I'm with you. I don't have the personal affection that you do for Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I think he's good. I think you shouldn't count what happened with Adam Gase against him. I'm actually quite surprised as well.
He's not just out there. And by the way, Chicago needed a quarterback who's an athlete. They didn't get one. That's maybe the Jets are playing hardball. Maybe the Jets, by the way, are keeping Darnold. I don't think so. I listen.
I mean, that would make sense.
Well, no, I will say I had an executive I trust tell me. He goes, I'd move off him for Zach Wilson, but I wouldn't move off him for anybody else in this draft except Trevor. So that was a Zach, yeah, everybody else, no. Hour 3 next.